On tonight's agenda, we speak to a minister with just over 2 months of experience in the House of Keys. Kate Lord Brennan, though, holds a very important role in the heart of government. I'm keen to find out what's changed with her ministerial role. And is the brighter and more radical future promised by the new House of Keys likely to be realised, or is it just a naive political fantasy? The new role that you're in, I mean, it's the Cabinet Office effectively was the role undertaken by the Policy and Reform Minister under a different guise. But is it pretty much the same thing, or is the change in title also, does that reflect a change in actual functions as well?
I think it also reflects a change of approach. I mean, in the there have been... I think maybe 3 or 4 previous ministers that have held the title of Minister for Policy and Reform, and that's been over a time where things have changed, and cross departmental working has started off and progressed. So now, really, I think we're at a stage where my first answer to this is always like, well, actually, is it one person's, one minister's job for reform and for policy? I think now we've actually evolved past that, where government is working differently. We recognise the value of cross-departmental working. There's a lot of that that goes onto the coordination of cabinet office, as well as a lot of the other sort of centralised core functions. So I think it reflects that, really. So it's perhaps more than just the previous remit of the policy and reform ministerial position, but I think that it's reflecting how things are moving on and evolving across government.
I mean, obviously everyone thinks that they're going to be able to deliver radical change and fresh approaches, but what makes you confident that this is going to be a really different government this next 5 years?
Well, what makes me confident is I think we're actually already starting to see that. I think that Timwell members can sense that change. It feels different. You know, certainly we've got four women in the Council of Ministers now. That straight away brings a different dynamic, and it's already been set out in terms of the way of working, the openness for input into direction or policy, and the way things are being established, and the engagement with which that has taken place in an open and positive way is already something that is apparent, and it's happening quickly. You know, it's something that people have remarked about to me, you know, just in different circumstances. It's quite clear that actually things are moving. There's a quicker pace of wanting to crack on with things and wanting to engage with people inside and outside of government in order to do that. So I think that's all encouraging, and it's already there, and I don't think that the will to progress that in earnest is going to fade anytime soon.
One of the, I suppose, the designs of the design flaws of government is that the whole machinery of government is designed to make people take a step back, to slow down, to think more deeply, to make sure that the possibility of any mistake happening is removed from the system, and that inevitably grinds the fresh and bright ideas down over time. How are you going to actually affect a sort of a cultural change across government? Because I notice in the new plan it is sort of referred to.
I think it is about setting that overall approach and the intention of that approach really early. So, and actually, you know, elevating some of these issues. You know, you describe a system that is, you know, slow to react. We know about the conversations, and it's quite right, you know, talking about siloed government. There is a need to elevate some of these things outside of the well-entrenched, positions that just the system, if you like, can make things operate in. And I think partly it's for that reason that things like the National Policy and Strategy Committee has been formed, and that's why, you know, that's something that's effectively, you know, replacing some of the other subcommittees that were kind of just operating away and again in their own little subgroups and sub silos. And in terms of delivery, that's why that there will be for this island plan, a delivery committee to make sure there is accountability and oversight. So those things are absolutely fully with the intention of overcoming some of the things that make government slow or not take a long-term view or a strategic view. It's going to take time, but I think that quite clearly that stall was set out really early in terms of what it's not just about saying what you want to do with government in a policy document. It absolutely has to be about how you're going to do it. I think that came through from the Chief Minister's manifesto. I think it's something that people have got behind in different ways in the government. That's why you have the Housing Communities Board, and you know there's a change with the Climate Change Board as well. So it's because it's recognised that there is a need to do things differently to deliver for people, because that's what people care about.
How engaged would you say, first of all, have you been, but also Timbal members generally, how much of this plan would you say is a collective vision of Timbal, and how much of it is the plan of the sort of close group of ministers that surround the Chief Minister?
Well, the island plan is something that has been developed with ministers and with Timbal members from a very early stage, you know, prior to positions and things like that being settled. It was really clear that to set the direction for the future administration, you know, future approach, that would absolutely benefit from engagement. Now, you know, that's not that early stage has not been down to me. However, now that the approach is kind of coming out of Cabinet Office, at every step there has been a welcoming and opening approach to getting input on that. So there is, you know, it's not like there is a sort of core subgroup on this. Part of the reason for bringing a draft plan forward for the public and for Timbal members has been to say, well, you know, you've got your chance now to say about where you think the policy priority should be, or what sort of particular policies should be included or emphasis, or to sense check things or to input. That's why it's with that openness and engagement that's been brought forward. So that's taking place in many forms. So Timbal members have been engaged early stages at a workshop, you know, prior to there being anything in particular written down, really to kind of collate those ideas from the doorstep, translate those into some sort of initial plan. And then the next step was to try and, part of my role has been to help try and put some of those ideas into particular themes, recognising that, you know, yes, people care about health, education, the economy, of course, but actually, going back to the point about how government works, a lot of these things are going to be cross-departmental. So that's why there are the five cross-cutting themes in that. We've had the Timbal debate on the draft initial plan. So that's something that's happened very early. I think looking back to previous programmes for government, yes, these things might have been in development, but they might have been in development behind the scenes. This course has taken a completely different approach with Timbal members and also with the public consultation, and now the next step of having the chance to for ministers and members of the public or community groups to speak directly to discuss aspects of the plan if they wish.
So how do they actually do that? How do people get engaged with this document? I mean, I've had a read through. It's not a long document. I mean, it's been criticised perhaps for being a bit light on detail. But how can people influence that plan now?
So the public can engage with the plan and engage with ministers on the plan in lots of different ways. So on Tuesday the 7th and Wednesday the 8th, there's the chance for drop-in sessions across the island, north, south, east and west, to come in and meet ministers and discuss aspects of the plan. So you can do that one-to-one, just as an informal drop-in session, really, and that will happen in different locations between 4 and 8. So you can catch people maybe after school or after work. So that, you know, that's very intentional to make the availability in that way. The draft plan is on, will be on the consultation .gov.im website, yep. With some, you know, some structure to the questions to kind of draw out, well, what you know, what do you think of these particular themes? What do you think of prioritisation or particular policy inputs and ideas on that? But of course, not everybody wants to do that, so they can also email in to the Cabinet Office at islandplan.gov.im or write to the Cabinet Office too. So, but also, you know, the approach has been to say to MHKs, please share this with your constituents, please share it with particular community groups, and that way there is a chance for their views to come into this as well, and that will help government and build policy, sense check areas, and also to, you know, determine the priorities, because you can't do everything and you can't have all the detail right now, because that needs to be considered. So it will become, it will become much more of a, of a, you know, solid, well-developed policy document. You have to have a starting point, and you do want to engage. So that's the point of having all these different approaches for people.
And of course, you do, you sort of need the wisdom of Solomon with these sorts of things, because I've detected a strong desire for maybe a slimmed down version of previous policy documents, because perhaps they've had too much information in, and it's easy to produce a policy document, of course, which is all things to all people, is wholly inclusive of everyone's thoughts and priorities. There does seem to be a theme developing amongst ministers that maybe we need to focus on fewer things and do them better. Is that a reasonable reflection of the position Comyn's taken?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was actually recognised by a lot of candidates and, you know previous Timwald members, you know, prior to the parliamentary session that we're in now, that actually what you want to do is be able to focus on a few things really well and say, look, this is what we're going to do initially. Yeah, that's why the Housing Board, Housing Communities Board, has been set up, because that was a significant issue, or it is a significant issue. You need to have that focus on it. So yeah, that's why you need to take this approach. You need to have, you know, well thought out policy, but you need to be able to focus and be realistic in terms of what can be achieved. And, you know, are you going to please everybody? No. Do you want to reflect the real needs and identify the specific ways to get on with them and solve the problems? Absolutely.
And again, in terms of people feeding back into this process, is it very much a case of, you know, now's your chance, please do send in the emails, send in the submissions? Or is this a case of those who are, you know, bothered enough to do it, that's great, but we're not going to ignore the fact that there may be lots of other opinions out there that haven't been fed back in. How will you sort of sift out between you know, organised campaigns to influence the policy, as opposed to people who perhaps are thinking, well, government's going to crack on and do it anyway, so we may as well just not bother?
Well, I think actually there will be many people who say, well, look, we've had the election, we want you now just to crack on and sort things out. And that is obviously absolutely expected and fine too. So it is intentional and it is purposeful that this approach is happening, but it's not necessarily, you know, over reliant on that. There is a strong sense of purpose to have a secure, vibrant, sustainable future for the Isle of Man. And it's something that's recognised that actually, you know, every year there will need to be a review. We may need to shift priorities, and there will be chance. I mean, there's been the proposal to have an annual Timwald conference with the public to, I guess, re-engage and reconnect back with the people in terms of government's plans. So it's not the last chance, and it's not, you know, it's not essential, but there will be people that do want to put forward their views, and this government, this administration stands ready to listen as it develops its approach.
You're listening to Cabinet Office Minister Kate Lord-Brennan. I've been through the plan and I've took out a few words and phrases from it which I thought might be relevant and certainly interesting. I mean, it talks about one strategy, one island, represented and served by one government, delivering one vision. So we're very much into one. Is there a risk that that means that it's my way or the highway?
I don't think so, no. I think if you look at the makeup of the Council of Ministers now, you know, you've got people in there that have, I mean, I probably include myself in that. You know, I was a pretty vocal MLC, not averse to challenge. You know, Claire Barber spent a long time on the scrutiny committees doing excellent work. And, you know, Laurie Hooper as well. The mix that you've got in there, you've got former ministers and very vocal, challenging backbenchers. That, you know, there's a mix there that is going to ensure that, you know, what comes out of this, you know, has appropriate, you know, challenge and questioning to move forward, you know, together, but, you know, recognises the potential pitfalls of the system.
So another point that I noticed, and possibly this is me with being a little selfish in raising this point, but I think it's an important point. Government alone cannot deliver all of the actions that will be needed, and we must increase our positive influence and collaborative working capabilities with key partners across the community if we are to achieve success. I mean, this has been a passion of mine, certainly when I was in the Keys and subsequently since I was booted out. How are you going to do this? Because there does seem to be that government talks the talk, but when it comes to the actual delivery, I mean, a great example at the moment in the South is the Southern Community Initiative, mm-hmm. which needs a relatively small sum of money, and instead government's investing in setting up its own version of what the Southern Community Initiative's been doing for years. How do you actually change the culture? Because I suspect maybe civil servants are a little bit reluctant to give up the control to the community groups to allow them to crack on and deliver some of these services.
Well, my personal view on this is that you have to have a questioning approach about, you know, what the limitations of government are and what they should be, and to value all the good things that happen in communities, you know, from a grassroots level, from a community groups level. You know, you don't want government to overstep. You do want government to make sure that there are, you know, ways to positively, you know, work with or partner, or, you know, in some cases, like step out the way of the groups that are really doing that in communities. So, I mean, I just think you need to keep just be mindful of it, really. I mean, we are a small island, a small population. You know, you don't want to end up in a situation where you are overreaching, overgoverning. You know, people said time and time again about, you know, the scope of government, the size of government. So it's about recognising that there are many good solutions and help, many good things that are positive for people that come from the community.
And of course, the scope of government is not necessarily all the things that government does. It's often enough the way government goes about it, the way government approaches it. And I was quite impressed with our culture should be one of people first. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is it's not radical, is it? But the fact that it's in there is really quite important.
I think so. It might seem obvious, but actually, you know, need to have this as a solid, purposeful reminder. You know, what is it, you know, that should be guiding what government does? You know, it should be, you know, not that government is there, you know, for itself, but to serve people and to deliver the key services that are needed. And sometimes this is difficult and it takes change and it takes time, but I you know, I certainly believe that the principles that are laid out in this plan, you know, stewardship is another one of those, is a, you know, is a worthwhile reminder for government as to, you know, how we carry out, how the functions are carried out, you know, throughout the bureaucracy, the civil service, you know, politically.
And another really bold I suppose, is it a promise? I suppose it probably is if it's in the plan, is that government departments, boards and agencies will be required to develop clear action plans. Well, that's common with previous governments, but and produce an annual report for Tynwald debate, scrutiny and approval.
Yes.
Which is, again, that's quite a big step for government to take there.
It is. I mean, it's a significant accountability improving move and transparency improving move. I mean, Cabinet Office will bring forward a plan. I don't think that's ever, happened before. I think all these things are up for, review and transparency as to how government departments and ministers are wishing to focus their and prioritise their actions. And I think it's a really good idea. So there'll be that, bringing forward plans, but also the requirement to bring forward an annual report as well. So if you look at those two elements, you look at the idea of a Tynwald conference of members of the public and the approach that has been taken with the draft plan, the level of engagement, all of that is very inclusive, open, positive, to help create the sort of island that we really want, that really delivers for people.
There's no reference to culture and heritage anywhere in the report, apart from, I think, the language in the Chief Minister's introduction mentions Ellen Vannon. Should I, as a passionate supporter of Manx culture and heritage, be nervous?
No, you shouldn't. There has been some extra wording added, and I think that's one of the things that perhaps has come out of some of the initial feedback or initial debates. I'm pretty sure it came out prior to the Tynwald debate, again, from a member saying, we had a workshop on this. What about this? Where does this fit in? So that's, all part of the approach.
I'm reassured. Excellent news. I mean, we could talk about this for another hour, I'm quite sure. But I mean, there's lots in here. I mean, you've got the five core, I don't know, what are the core priorities, whatever they are, building great communities, an island of health and well-being, strong and diverse economy, environment that we can be proud of, and outstanding lifelong learning, development and opportunities for all. Having read those out, I am sort of reminded of all the other strategies that have ever been. Hopefully... what we're talking about here is the way in which these things are being delivered. Is that's the thing that's different, isn't it?
It is, really. I mean, I think it would be surprising if similar themes were not arrived at, although they may, this has been put together, the idea of having holistic themes that will include different aspects of government and the things that matter to people. Absolutely, the key thing is about the approach and how these things will be brought about. That's actually really important. So there actually is, in my view, there is an underlying reforming element to this, which is looking at the how you do things differently.
And in 5 years' time, if this plan is effective, what sort of differences are we going to actually see here? I mean, it's easy to sort of talk about, the economy will be doing a bit better. But are there ways in which people are going to say, actually, gosh, that five-year plan really has changed my life?
Well, I mean, I'd like to see a marked change in terms of how government, responds to things across government, to get rid of that siloed thinking, to have a long-term strategic view. And, in the end, it is delivery on the ground that matters for people. Behind that, though, there may be, the fact that there's been policy developed in a much more fuller way, or you haven't actually just left one significant issue in the hands of one department, or actually you've actively welcomed policy input from outside government to remove, some of the ingrained thinking or just give some creative and innovative approaches or outside input. So I would like to see a government that is operating in a way that is better for people, delivers better services, has more engagement, is more transparent, and is more effective in terms of delivering for people.
It's hard not to be carried along with the infectious enthusiasm and commitment to change expounded by the new crop of ministers and Keys members. It's pretty clear that Kate Lord-Brennan understands where the potential pitfalls lie, but can she and her colleagues reform the creaking decades-old structures and cultures of government? I suppose only time will tell. For now, though, I'm Phil Gorn, Gurumayu. Thanks for listening.